God is good.
All the time. All the time. The psalmist had a passion. A Jewish believer in God, where the people of God were just that nation. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine on us, so that your way may be known on earth, your salvation to all nations. First picture, please. He had a passion that the nations should come to know God. And in a sense, the answer to his prayer became clear on that announcement that was given to another group of Jewish believers, shepherds in the fields, who were told, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." All the people. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." As the Apostle John much later wrote, "The Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world." And Jesus, at the end of Matthew's Gospel, we hear him saying to his Jewish disciples, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Strict translation of every ethnic group. And of course, some responded to Jesus' words by actually going. People like Paul. Paul, who was born in a particular country, came from what we would probably know as Turkey. But God sent him, when he came to know Jesus, up into Syria, back into Turkey, into Greece, into Italy, some believe even into Spain. But although Paul was the one who was sent to spread the news of Jesus for all nations, he was very clear that yes, he needed the grace of God that was sufficient, and yet he would say that he needed the support of those other Christians. He said, "You also must pray for me," and with our emphasis at this time of prayer, intercessory prayer that Dee was going to be leading us soon, for Paul was vital for himself. He needed the encouragement, as you read his letters, from Christians when he was opposed, when he was deserted. He needed the help financially so that he was free of having to, if you like, do a day job and get some money in, so he could have some money for food and drink and clothing and to be free to do his work. He needed their support when he was in prison for his faith. He was not only grateful for this support for himself, but he pleaded, as Nick led us thinking just now, about the marginalized. In their case, it was writing to Christians in Greece about a group of Christians back in Judea who were facing starvation. And he pleaded with them prayerfully to give, that these people might know support and encouragement. So it wasn't just for them, it was for others too. What he does in these letters is ask the church to get organized in what's in support of what we might call the mission to other nations. As part of that, here in St. Matthew's, for some years now, we have what's called MASA, Mission and Action, Mission and Social Action. Actually, they're the same thing, but that's what we call it. And in that way, we try and discern how God would have us support prayerfully, financially, and encouragement those areas of mission that we as a church are involved in. And top of that list is prayer. Some of you know that Barbara and I had the privilege of serving the Lord in Paraguay, in South America, for around 12 years, where we took our baby daughter, 3 months old at the time, and our son, who's with us today, was born and spent his early years out in the midst of the wilds of South America. And we faced many, many challenges, as we did when we returned. But we were so conscious of the prayers of people supporting us, and yes, their financial gifts. And so we know the power of prayer. But people could only pray for us if they knew about us. And this was the particular ministry of a local representative of, in this case, what has become CMS. I was struck on visits back to England when I would visit churches that supported the work. I would meet people who'd never met us, who only knew about us because their church had decided to support us, and the local rep has been so busy in getting people to know about us, catch up with news, so that it was meaningful to them. That was a key part of God's work in Latin America, in our case, through us. And interestingly, one of our co-workers at that time was seconded to work for the international side of UCCF. So one of the four agencies that this church, through MASA, supports in overseas ministry is CMS. CMS works in 49 countries, including our own. It, in fact, has given a lead within the Church of England of the training and authorizing of pioneer ministries. But all those other countries, sometimes it's difficult to understand how to pray. Again, this is the place of the local representative. Here, for example, through CMS, we support some strange guy called Michael Green, who, when we first came to know him, lived in, worked in the Jordan. Now God has called him back to work, as we've gathered this morning, amongst people from many nations who have come here to this country. And in one sense, it's a lot easier to support Michael here because we see him more often than we used to, no comment, and we can talk to him and we know the people he works amongst. Much more easy than when he was in Jordan. That's where, again, a local rep comes in to help us understand. We also support, in the lower picture, Alejandro Teixeira, who's a budding, growing leader in Brazil, and we even had a video link with him once, you may remember. But how are you to know about him? Very, very difficult. So we need, because it's a role I need to lay down now, one person or two people who will take on this task of being the link between CMS and the membership here. And I won't pretend that it's an easy task. It's not a time-consuming task in that you have to do something every week or whatever. I think there are 3 meetings a year with MASA. But it does require, if you like, inspiration, ideas, sharing, because how do you do it? If I might put it this way, it's a lot easier to help us be aware of things on our doorstep. Barbara stood up here a couple of months ago and passionately sought someone to come forward to take on FIND. We've seen the answer to that prayer, if you like, this morning, and we have those people. We hear about UCCF on our doorstep. We hear about House of Hope. We hear about town pastors. They're all in our lives. But what about somebody who works in the Jordan or in Brazil? How can we keep that alive? And so, in a sense, the prayer is that God would raise up the next laborer or laborers to take on this task. For obvious reasons, the past year, my work on that has not been up to scratch, if you like. But this is a work vital for us to fulfill our mission in completing that vision that all the nations. So that person in the middle, might it be you? Might it be you and someone else? You don't need to have been in the church for a long time. It's interesting, the answer to the prayer about find was Roger, who I won't say how many decades has been here, and one of our new members, Cleo. So let us pray. It's a matter of prayer. That's why I say I'm not looking for volunteers. If you want to know more about it, talk to Michael. Talk to someone like Phil, who's passionate about CYM and does things. And he worked with Imogen to do the latest display about Christian Aid. Talk to Nick, so that you can understand a bit more, so that God would raise up somebody to help us more effectively support those who take the gospel to other nations. The Lord said, the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send workers into the harvest. He sends some, and he raises up others who are those who would support him. Let us pray. Lord, Barbara and I, with David and Rachel, thank you for those who are so faithful in their prayer and their giving and encouragement to us, although they didn't know us. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege it is to share in mission here in our own town, and we thank you for new opportunities. But pray, Lord, that you would raise up the person or people of your choice to be that link that the nations might know the Saviour for his name's sake. Amen. Thank you, Diva.